last word, the B-I-B-L-E, right? It's the book for me. Isaiah chapter 30 is where we want to head this morning. That's in the Old Testament. Go left. Open up your Bible and go left. And Isaiah chapter 30, I think you'll enjoy the word this morning. Verse 21. Did you know God's speaking on the earth today? And really, you know, we want to learn to hear the voice of God, don't we? Because if we can hear the voice of God, we will fall into our destiny with ease. That's really important. Isaiah chapter 30 is what we want to begin with. Look at verse 21. Isaiah 30, verse 21. Your ears, the prophet said, shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And whenever you turn to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left. God said, listen, I'm going to be behind you telling you this is the way. You know, that gives me a lot of confidence this morning. It gives me a lot of assurance because I know that God is going to speak to me no matter where I'm at in my journey in life if I can learn to listen. Matter of fact, God's speaking right now this morning. He was speaking about the service in regards to some people that the battle is over. God was speaking about people needing to be saved. I mean, all over this room this morning, there was at least 7 or 8 families, individuals who are surrendering their life to Christ. You know what? Holy Spirit was calling. God was speaking to them. Some of you have been sitting here, and since you've been in this room, since we got together, you're hearing the voice of God. God is speaking to you. But what we have to do is remove the ground clutter. And the ground clutter, or the interference, is it's not that you're not hearing from God. You know, when you have interference on the radio, you can hear the sound behind it, but there's all this crackling noise. There's interference. It's trying to dismiss the signal. And then once you finally get it in, boy, it's with clarity and you can enjoy it so much more. See, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10, Adam had such clarity with God's voice that he used to walk with God on a daily basis. And I believe the Lord was giving him instruction on how to manage the earth. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute, because we need to understand that God will give us management tips on how to function in our homes, our marriages, our finances, just like he did Adam. He'll walk with us and give us those management tips. But after Adam fell into sin, the Bible said he hid himself. And when the Lord asked him why he was hiding, he said, I was afraid. But not only did he say, I was afraid, but in verse 10, he said, I heard your voice and I hid myself. In other words, sin has caused me to create ground clutter and interference in hearing what you have to say. Now I'm running from your voice instead of running towards your voice. So you and I need to deal with the issues that put a block between us and what God is saying. See, the psalmist declared, in you I take shelter. Hiding from God is the custom of all sinners. But hiding in God is the custom of all saints. So if you're hiding from God today, maybe there's a sin issue in your life. But if you're hiding in God, then you're hearing His voice clearly. You know, we second guess ourselves a lot, don't we? Was that God? Was that not God? You know, we can always go to His Word. We can get those direct lines like up on the screen right now. That little iPod, you know, put it right in our ears and get that clarity of voice. There's 3 things that I believe we need to do to get the voice of God clearly in our minds this morning. And number one is we need to go to a higher place. Everybody say a higher place. You might want to write that down because this is real vital in trying to get the voice of God in clarity in our life. Go to Revelation chapter 4. You bear with me with my voice, and I'm going to do my very best to speak without coughing and all those kind of things. But look at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you these things which must take place after this. John the Revelator, on the Isle of Patmos, the heavens open, and the voice that he heard said, I want you to leave where you are and come up here so I can show you some things that are going to take place. If you look at the pattern of that, when God spoke to Moses and gave him the commandments, He didn't come to Moses in the valley. He called Moses to come up to the mountain. He said, Moses, I need you to come up to a higher place so I can give you some things that you need to know. I believe that when God's voice is speaking, we're only going to hear it when we go to a higher place. We've got to remove ourselves from the everyday grind of our life. We can't allow the noise and the ground clutter of life to interfere with what God is wanting to speak and wanting to say. I like Revelation chapter 1 and verse 12. If you look at that verse, it simply says that John, the Revelator, turned to hear the voice that spoke with him. See, I believe that there's a turning that's required. There's a turning away from all the natural interruptions of life toward the voice of God. You know, Tina and I were talking this morning, and she said, you know, when you first get up in the morning, it would be so good if we had no other thought in our mind but, good morning, Holy Spirit. Oh, God, I'm so thrilled to be in your presence today. But isn't it something how thoughts come into our mind like, you know, find your shoes for church and don't get your kids up. And, you know, you've got all these other natural things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if all we ever do is live in the valley of the clutter, we're never going to get to the mountaintop of God's instruction. So we have to make time in our life to get to the place that's higher than where we normally live. Can I get an amen right there? See, Moses went to the mountain, and what he did, he actually separated himself. He separated himself unto God. And that's really what's required, is a separation unto the Lord. Here's two frequency blockers that I think we have to deal with all the time. Number one is interference. I've already mentioned it, but let me define it. It means distorted portion of a received signal. Interference is the distorted portion of a received signal. It's not that we're not hearing God in this generation. It's just that what we are hearing has become distorted. It becomes distorted by a lot of interference. It could be distorted by denominationalism. It could be distorted by religion. It could be distorted by our traditions and our customs. It could be distorted by our sin. It could be distorted by a lot of things. And we think that we're actually hearing God, but we're so used to watching the television with all the snow on it. I remember as a child growing up, you know, it's interesting. I go back to when TV was first invented. Now, don't look at me like that. That's old, isn't it? My parents got their first television set. It had a small little screen on it. It was black and white. We had the rabbit ears, and we attached clothes hangers on top of it and put some aluminum foil on there to try to get better reception. Some of you don't have any idea what I'm talking about because you have cable and it comes in on high definition. But I'm used to the snow in the picture. And we'd watch it, and, you know, sometime I remember even 20, 25 years ago, we used to watch the Browns game, and a lot of time the Browns games weren't on 3, 5, or 8. They were on 11 or 13 in Toledo. So I'd have to get up on the roof and turn the antenna. Did you ever do that kind of stuff? And I've got a guy down on the ground going, yeah, it's coming in a little better. Turn it a little more. I said, can you see it now? And we're turning it, and we watched the whole game with all the interference. It's interesting. You couldn't even see the ball pass. It went up in the air, and you couldn't even tell if it was caught until the commentator said, touchdown! And we go, yay! Doesn't make sense, does it? But we got used to watching it with interference. We're used to coming to church with interference. We're used to walking with God with interference. But my family has just blessed me. They got me a big screen TV. Yeah, they did. And you know what else? I got high definition. And you know, I never knew what high definition was. I'm used to watching it with all the little, you know, things on the screen. It's fine. But the bigger the screen, the more distortion. I'm thinking, oh God, this is really cool. This is a great illustration. And so now, after watching it for about a month or two, I'm watching the game, and the Cavs are on last night with the Pistons, and it was crummy reception. It was like, how come this isn't in HD? We're trying to find HD. So I put HD on with the college basketball game, and I feel like I'm right there at courtside, man. It's like, whoa, I could touch this. Yeah. And now that I've been introduced to interference-free television viewing, how you're going to keep them back on the farm after they've seen Perry. I can't go backwards. I want HD on everything. Hey, Kristen, listen. When you start getting a clear signal from God and you go higher in your faith with God, there's no going back. Because once you hear the voice of God, it's like, baby, I can't live any other way. I've got to have God in my life. Look at somebody and say, you got to go a little higher. Got to go a little higher. See, Satan's goal is to interfere with the signal. Secondly, is disturbances. Disturbances are mental or emotional imbalance or disorder. You know, there's times that I'm watching a program with Tina. It's in HD and everything. But I'm not necessarily that drawn to the content. I really don't care what color the living room is going to be painted and how the curtains match. I don't really care. And my mind is like, I'm watching, but I'm not listening. Have you ever done that? And Tito will make a comment, and I'll say, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what they said. She says, well, you're sitting right here. I may be sitting here, and I may even be looking at it, but my mind was on, wonder what the score is. That's what I call disturbance. It's mental interruption. So when God's trying to speak, sometimes there's a interference problem, but sometimes there's a disturbance problem because our minds have taken thought. You want to write that down? Taking thoughts will disturb the signal. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, take no thought. And when we take thoughts, it disturbs the signal. We want to hear the voice of God this morning, and it's Satan's goal to either create interference or to disturb so that our destiny cannot be found. God has a destiny for you and me in His voice. Galatians chapter 1, it tells us that Paul, after he was saved, Saul to Paul, he spent 3 years learning to hear the voice of God before he ever did any ministry. He spent 3 years clearing out the interference, clearing his mind of all the disturbances. You know, he was raised in a religion. Now listen to me. He was raised in a religion. He was a Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews. He kept the law as best that he could. He spent 3 years trying to get his mind deprogrammed from religion to relationship. See, there's some things that we've got to work on, because some of us are here this morning loving God and want a relationship with God, but you still have religious disturbances in your thinking. We don't believe that God heals today because we've been told that. We don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again because we've never been taught that. We don't believe that you can know Christ personally and that you could hear God's voice because your religion never taught you that. So these are disturbances in our mind that prevent us from walking by faith. And let me tell you what the Bible says. The just shall live by faith. As a matter of fact, we don't walk by sight, right? But we walk by how? Faith. So number two, be joyful. You know, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. You know, if you want to hear the voice of God, not only do you have to go to a higher place, you have to be joyful. And some Christians are the saddest bunch. I mean, it's just tough walking around with a bunch of sad Christians, you know? I mean, we ought to be happy, laughing. You say, well, I'd laugh and I'd be happy if I didn't have all this debt, if I didn't have this pain in my body, if I didn't have all these circumstances around my life. See, here's what we're doing. We're living under the circumstances. And a lot of people will say, they say, hey, baby, how you doing? I'm doing great under the circumstances. My response is, why are you under there? I think those things are supposed to be under your feet. He put all things where? Under our feet. I like what a brother told me this morning. I'm going through a real difficult struggle. He said, but you know what? It's just things. I've realized that it's just materialism. I'm not going to allow those things to control me. I'm going to put them where they belong. Not on top of me, not even alongside of me, but under my feet. We've got to get to a place where we don't really have any ties to any natural physical thing in this world. You know, if we got all the blessings of God, it comes to our life naturally or physically, praise God. But if we don't have any, praise God anyway. Because it really doesn't matter, does it? God is still on the throne. And I still have my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whether I have one diamond ring or no diamond ring. Whether I have a big house or I don't have a house. My name is still written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whether I have a lot of money in the bank or I have no money. Guess what? My name's still written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whether I have 100 friends or I don't have any friends. God said, my name is still written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus said, don't rejoice over the fact that you can cast out demons, go to church and have all kinds of religious experience, but rather rejoice that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's a good place to take a little commercial here and thank God that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on, you could be happier than that. Woo! Thank you, Lord. And my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I can be joyful. You see, Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3 says, we ought to draw from the well of our salvation. There's a well inside your belly. Jesus said in John 7, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this is what he said in Isaiah 12. He said, therefore, because with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. I believe that you have to have joy in order to get revelation, inspiration, direction, anointing. Joy is a prerequisite to drawing from the wells of your salvation. If you and I don't have joy, we can't take a withdrawal from the provision of God. It only comes with the key of joy. It's like going into the bank and you have a security box or a safety deposit box and you've got all kinds of good things in there. But until you can show your key to unlock the box, you can't have access to its content. This is what Isaiah is saying. Joy is the key to the security box. Joy is the access to all the goods that God has put apart, set apart, and reserved for those who love Him. So this morning, I'm going to have joy. You say, well, how can you have joy when your car broke down? How can you have joy when your dog ran away? How can you have joy when you just got a laid off and you got a pink slip? How can you have joy when all this stuff's going on? My goodness, I can't have joy today. I don't even want to go to church anymore. I don't even think God's real anymore. I just want to quit. See, that's a lot of Christians, and that's why unless you get the key back in your hand, you can't draw from the wells of salvation. We've got to get a mentality, excuse me, that is different. And our mentality is, I don't really care what I have and don't have. I remember something. My name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and when this life is over, I'm going to fly away. Come on, somebody. When that trumpet sounds, I'm going to be heaven bound. And I'm going to be walking on streets of gold. I don't even need gold in my pocket when I get there. I'll have gold under my feet. I'm going to have pearls on every doorway that I enter in or exit from. Listen to me. I'm not concerned about what I have and don't have here. Are you kidding? I've got Jesus. I think you ought to lift your hands up and thank God that you got Jesus. Come on, thank God you've got Jesus. Hallelujah. Isaiah 30 tells us in verse 29 and 30 that gladness or the lack of gladness will produce deafness. Now that's a powerful scripture. If you look at it, he says, you shall have a song as in the night when a holy festival is kept and gladness of heart as when one goes with a flute. Next scripture. To come into the mountain of the Lord to the mighty one of Israel. He's saying, listen, you got to have gladness to go into the mighty one of Israel. And I believe that people without gladness are going to be deaf to the voice of God. So I've got to change my thinking. Excuse me. I've got to stop allowing circumstances to control me and steal my joy. Now, some of you need to get happy in here this morning. Now, to get happy doesn't mean you have to jump around and dance and shout and all those kind of things. But to get happy is to have contentment. And to realize that I'm not bound by what I see, feel, touch, taste, hear. I'm not bound by what I have or don't have. I've got the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. I am strong in the Lord in the power of His might. And so I recognize that I have to keep my gladness level at a premium in order to hear the voice of God. Let nothing steal your joy. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy, this is a powerful scripture, and I want to just challenge us with it in verse 47 and 48. The Bible said they came under a curse because they didn't have joy. Look at this. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. In other words, you weren't thankful for what you had. You were a grumbler for what you didn't have. You weren't focusing on what God has blessed you with. You were focusing on what you think you should have been blessed with. And because of that, you did not serve the Lord. Next scripture. Because you did not do that, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and in need. In other words, listen, folks, if we don't walk in joy and gladness, our enemies will overpower us. Gladness is our source of strength and power to overcome. And it's also how we draw from the wells of salvation. It's also how we gain the victory and hear the voice of God. I got to have joy in my life. Number one said, I got to go higher. I got to get out of the disturbances of this life so I can hear the voice of God clearly. In other words, I need to be able to get the interferences and the disturbance out of my mind and out of my life. And number three, be free. Look at somebody and say, be free. You say, well, that was stupid. What does that mean? It means to be free. Say, well, what does free mean? Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I need that. What is that? Oh, yeah, if I do that, I'll spit it at somebody. I'll have to do it afterwards. Thanks. Yeah, I'll be up there preaching and go, yeah! And go, pow, pow, and knock somebody out. I can see a lawsuit right now, so I don't want to do that. Being free simply means being in a position to hear God's voice. That's real freedom. In 2 Kings chapter 3, it's a powerful verse, in verse 15. When you begin to praise God with freedom, it releases the voice of God. Let me say that again. When you begin to praise God with freedom and praise God for who He is and not what He's given you or not given you, it releases the prophetic word. Watch this. But now bring me a musician, the prophet said. And then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Next verse. And the scripture says that when the hand of the Lord came upon him, that the prophetic word of the Lord began to speak through him. You know, there's prophetic deposits in us this morning. And I like what Chris brought the word of the Lord to us about the prophetic wall. I believe that God is raising up a prophetic wall in this place. But see, it can't be released until you're free. You've got to be free to praise the Lord. And you know, anytime I need to hear the voice of God, you know what helps me get to the place of hearing God's voice? Is getting a musician. Give me a psalmist. And when there's no psalmist around, guess who I go to then? I go to me. I'm one of the greatest psalmists. You know what? I'm undiscovered in this world. If they would ever hear my praise and worship, I mean, I'd be like right up there with Darlene Check, man, because I am a praiser. And I know that when I begin to release my praise to God, my freedom to worship Him, even in the midst of hardship. None of you know. You don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in the midst of loss. In the midst of abandonment. I'm talking about in the midst of pain when I think, oh God, I'm going to praise You anyway. That praise is high praise in the house of God. It may not be a number one seller here. You're probably not going to hear it as one of those commercials on television, you know, that they sell all those CDs and stuff. You're never going to see my name and my voice and my album on that. But in heaven, I'm a number one bestseller. I want you to know that right now, because my praise has released the voice of God to me. Everybody lift your hands up and say, I need to be free in my praise to God, because I need to hear the voice of God. We're talking about three things here this morning. Number one, you got to get higher. You got to climb higher. You know, I used to be, before I was saved, now, you know, this isn't when I was saved. I wasn't saved until I was 20-some years old, 22 or whatever. But prior to that, we used to go look for the weekend and do one thing, get high. I mean, that was our goal. What are we doing Friday? I don't know, we're just going to get loaded, man. Let's go do it, whatever we need to do. That's what we did. Now, some of you, don't look at me like that. You are so saved in this house this morning, I'm telling you. You used to do the same thing. So couldn't hardly wait till Friday night. Get off work, get out of school, whatever it took, man. We're going up and we're going to get some high on. Why did we feel like we had to get high? Because where we lived wasn't any fun. And in the house of God, you got to get higher. I like that song in the Joshua Kids, they sing, hiya, hiya, Higher, 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 higher. Lift the name of Jesus higher. And lower, lower. Lower, 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 lower. How many know that song? See, it's on my album. You want to get a copy? Stomp the devil lower. Super, super. Super, 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 super. Super, super. Supernatural power. Higher, higher. Higher, 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 higher. Come on, come on. You join me a little bit. Come on, put your hands in here. Higher, higher. Higher, 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 higher. Higher, higher. Lift the name of Jesus higher. Lower, lower. Lower, 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 lower. Lower, lower. Stomp the devil lower. Super, super. Now, some of you aren't doing it. Wait a minute. See, you're still too religious. See, you go to the concert, and you're like, you get in church, it's like, I can't do that. I'm in church. Come on. Super, super. You're doing better. Come on. Super, super. Super, super. Supernatural power. Amen. The Bible says to be anxious for everything because you never know what's going to happen. Some of you that don't know the Bible, you're going, is that in the Bible? Some of you say, I'm not sure I want to believe that. That's in the Bible? Now, what does it say? Be anxious for what? Nothing. Combination of two words. What is it? No thing. Be anxious for what? No thing. What's anxiety? It's a state of apprehension. As about future uncertainties, fear as a result of anticipated threat or events of a threat or a situation of demise. And Jesus said, don't you have one thought about events that haven't even taken place yet? Half of us this morning are living today based on what we're apprehensive about tomorrow. And Jesus said, be anxious for what? No thing. Look at somebody, shake your finger and say, no thing. All right? Come on. You got to help me preach this morning. Act like you're preaching. If you were preaching that, how would you preach it? No thing. No thing. Blessed be the name of God. Nothing. Whatever, however you'd preach it. Preach it to somebody. Look at them again and say, no thing. No thing. All right. No thing. Be anxious for nothing. And I love Jesus, what he said. He said, take no thought as to what tomorrow will bring. You know, Jesus said, listen, today's got enough problems, enough challenges, and here you are, already messed up in Sunday, and you're worried about Monday. The reason why you're messed up in Sunday is because you got your thinking on Monday that you're not going to make it on Monday. That Monday's going to be a repeat of Sunday. Some of you could have written and starred in Groundhog Day because you live your life the same way every day. You anticipate it to be the same. The clock goes off in the morning and here we go again. No, no, no. Take no thought about tomorrow. Then he said this, which one of you could add one cubit to your life by being anxious? He said, nobody can. So why do we take the thought of anxiety or apprehension about tomorrow when we know that God is already in our tomorrow? A good shepherd always goes before his people. This is the 30th of March. Hallelujah. Well, they said something about March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb, but I haven't seen any lambs yet. But April is supposed to have some showers. We saw them in March. It seemed like winter is still upon us. So I don't know about all them sayings, but I know this. 31st of March, my Jesus has already been there and made provision for everything I'm ever going to need. And already what I'm going to face, he's got a strategy and a plan for me to be victorious. Can you say amen? Amen. Woo, I'm happy about that this morning. Glory to God. Woo, that's exciting. So we got to do what? Go higher. Got to climb higher. We got to be joyful. We've got to be people that are free to worship the Lord without any thought about tomorrow. I like to put on my mind, no vacancy. I want to take control over my thoughts. You know, your mind can never be in neutral. Did you know that? Can never be in neutral. You're always thinking about something. So I've got to take control over what I think. And I've got to feed what I think. Now, how do we do that? The surest way to take control of your thoughts is with your mouth. Have you ever noticed, now maybe you're not guilty of this because, well, maybe you're not, but I am. There's times in my life that I think things and I actually say them. I remember as a kid growing up, I'd get so mad at my parents and I'd think about, boy, I was just, if I could, I'd kill. Now that's terrible to say, but you know, when you're a dumb teenager, you do things like that. And I'd say it, it'd come out of my mouth, I'd kill you. My dad said, what'd you say? I said, I didn't say anything. But the thought is what precipitated the word. See, the devil wants you to start saying what you're thinking. And if you're thinking anxiety, what he's actually wanting you to do is establish your tomorrow by the anxiety you're feeling and thinking in your mind. Because power of death and life is where? In the tongue. So I become the prophet of my own life. So what I have to do is when I have a thought that is contrary to God's word, the only way to defeat it is to speak the truth. So when Jesus was confronted by the devil and he said, you're hungry, aren't you? He said, man, you know it. He said, 40 days without food. Ooh, you're hungry, aren't you? Oh, you know it. He said, you know what? These stones here, if you just commanded it, they could become bread. Jesus said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The devil said, doggone it. I could have just got him to say it. Some of you have been thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do about tomorrow. We don't have any money today. We're not going to have any money tomorrow. We're not going to be able to make it. I don't know what, boy, 2000, I thought 2008 was a year of new beginnings. Huh, not for us. The devil said, come on, keep prophesying about your life. So when those thoughts come, you can't take them. Just because somebody hands you something doesn't mean you have to take it. Case in point. Don't take it, though, because you mess up my illustration. Hey, Creed, here's some thoughts about your tomorrow that are not very good. They're all anxiety. Here, take them. Take them. They're good for you, man. It's just like your yesterday. Take them. No, see, he won't take it. He doesn't have to take it. Look at somebody and say, you don't have to take it. All right, watch this. How long are you going to take it? You ever have anybody say to you, you don't have to take that from them. When anybody's treating you or mistreating you, do you ever have anybody say that? I wouldn't take it from them. What does that mean? You actually took the predictions for your future demise into your spirit. So what we have to do is we have to speak the word of the living God. Number one, we have to go to a higher place. Number two, we got to be joyful, church. Our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I can't believe it myself. I know me. I know my history. I'm thinking, God, why would you want me? I mean, after all, come on, I know my frailties. I don't have a whole lot to offer in my mind. Why would you seek me out? Why would you want me? So I love you. You do. I can't understand that either. He said, don't worry about it. Just receive it. Number two, be joyful. Why? Because it doesn't matter what I have and don't have. Stop allowing this world to tell you that you're successful only when you amass great quantities of material goods. That's not the case at all. Because there are a lot of people with a lot of money and a lot of material goods that aren't a real success in God's eyes. And number three, be free from the thoughts of anxiety. How? By speaking the truth and not allowing those thoughts to come out of your mouth. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. With God, Nothing is impossible, for all things are possible with God. See, all of a sudden, my thoughts of impossibility have to stop. Because if I ask every one of us this morning to count to 10 silently to yourself, matter of fact, let's do it. And then I want you to respond to my question while you're counting. Are you ready? Start counting silently to yourself from 1 to 10. Go. Now tell me your name. Say it out loud. What's your name? What happened to your count? It had to stop. Your thought has to bow to your mouth. You see what I'm saying? Every time you speak, your thought has to become subservient to what you say. So what am I saying today? I will be glad in the Lord. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. How many of you this morning are taking thoughts of anxiety? Val, would you help me out this morning? How many this morning are taking thought? I got a story to tell you. And Val's going to help me sing it. I was going to do it, but it's not on my latest album, so. It's about an insignificant, go ahead and roll that tape, insignificant little sparrow. I think it's going to bless you. You live right, love everybody, and you pray hard. Troy will close the service in prayer after this song.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadow come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? Since Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. That He watches, He watches me. And I sing because I'm happy. I'm free. Oh, yeah.
Amen, everybody, on your feet. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. As your eye is truly on every one of us this morning, on every concern, every heavy heart, everything that weighs heavy on us, Lord, your eye is upon it. We thank you for the word this morning. Had to run swiftly through our circumstance. Jesus, you empower us for life. The Holy Spirit, I pray comfort to everyone in this room right now. Thank you for the cross, the provision of the cross, the restoration that was provided in Calvary for all of us. We sit at your feet. We thank you this morning. We bless the mighty name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. Our altars are open. If you need prayer, we want to agree with you this morning. Altar ministers, if you'll make your way forward. For those who, this is your first, second, third time, you haven't met anyone here on staff, we'd like to meet with you in the TV studio just to your right this morning.
That would